Hello, this is my Lenten Diary for March the 25th, 2025. Today is Tuesday in the third week of Lent. This is a reading from Luke chapter 9, verses 10 through 17. On their return, the apostles told him all they had done, and he took them and withdrew apart to a town called Bethsaida. When the crowds learned it, they followed him, and he welcomed them and spoke to them of the kingdom of God and cured those who had need of healing. Now the day began to wear away, and the 12 came and said to him, "Send the crowd away to go into the surrounding villages and countryside to find lodging and get provisions, for we are here in a desolate place." But he said to them, "You give them something to eat." They said, "We have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless we are to go and buy food for all these people." For there were about 5,000 men. And he said to his disciples, "Have them sit down in groups of about 50 each." And they did so, and had them all sit down. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing over them. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the crowd. And they all ate and were satisfied, and what was left over was picked up, 12 baskets of broken pieces. Here ends the reading. Yesterday we heard the story of Jesus sending his disciples out on their first mission without him. I, for one, would have loved a detailed report. In today's reading, though, all Luke tells us is, on their return, the apostles told him all they had done. Which, to be honest, isn't very specific. We get a smidge of a hint that Jesus wanted to take some time with them apart from the busyness of ministry because they withdrew to the town of Bethsaida. But alas, because of Jesus' reputation, maybe even because of the disciples' recent efforts, the crowd follows them. The result is Jesus welcomes the crowd, teaches them, and continues his ministry of healing. This unplanned afternoon of ministry sets the stage for one of the most well-known of Jesus' miracles, the feeding of the multitude. The aspect of this familiar story that captures me today is the interaction Jesus has ahead of the miracle itself. The disciples are concerned for the people's well-being. They are out in a desolate place where there are no provisions or lodging readily available. Jesus' response to the disciples is, "You give them something to eat." The disciples inform Jesus of the meager supplies on hand, 5 barley biscuits and a couple of little fish. Apparently, whatever success the disciples had had in their preaching and healing mission did not translate to an increase in their imagination relative to the power of God. They could not see the food they had presented an opportunity. They could only see the obstacles to God's abundance. This is where Jesus steps in with some help. After having everyone sit down, Jesus takes the food, says a blessing, and begins breaking the loaves and fish, which the disciples distribute. Somehow, not only is there enough to feed everyone present, there are leftovers. But what often gets lost in the discussions about the miracle is that the only food Jesus works with is the food the disciples already had. This, I believe, provides 21st century followers of Jesus with both an encouragement and a challenge. Mostly these days, to hear most church folks talk, all we have are limited resources that we must protect at all costs. We are so worried about losing things, we can't let go of our insecurity long enough to see how God might use those assets in ways which will multiply beyond our own capacity to imagine. And yet, the only way for God's abundance to break through our mindset of scarcity is for us to risk letting go of the very things we're clinging to so desperately. In the moment of decision, the disciples turn over to Jesus the only food they had available. Hardly, barely even enough to feed themselves and Jesus, and they give it away. This is an act of radical trust. I wonder what this story has to tell the church these days. What if, instead of hoarding our gifts and resources, we offered them to Jesus for the benefit of the good news? I wonder who would be fed. I wonder who would be healed. I wonder whose lives would be changed. I wonder if the reason we don't see more miracles is because we're holding on to the very materials which could become the building blocks of God's power and abundance in our midst. One of my favorite quotes about our participation with God in the gospel work of the church is this one, from the 16th century mystic Teresa of Avila. God has no body, Christ has no body but yours. No hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks with compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands with which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands, yours are the feet, yours are the eyes, yours are his body. Christ has no body now but yours. I actually do believe miracles are still possible. We may not have unlimited resources, but if we place what we do have into the hands of Jesus, we can trust that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we're able to ask or even imagine. And if we could take the risk of trusting Jesus, imagine what might happen. Just think about the leftovers. Let us pray. Grant, O God, that your holy and life-giving Spirit may so move every human heart that barriers which divide us may crumble, suspicions disappear, and hatred cease. That our divisions being healed, we may live in justice and peace through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.